one way. I pray that every person in here tonight can say with assurance that I'll meet you in heaven someday. We don't know when we're going, but if we're saved, we know we're going. We may not know the day nor the hour, and I'm glad we don't know, but we know we're going. We may not know the route that we'll take, and I'm glad I don't know that either, but I'm glad I know that I'm going. And we get to heaven, there'll be no more tears and sorrows and those things that are mentioned in the Scriptures. Also in that song, they'll not be there. But even when you think of all those things that have passed, the best part of all when we see the Lord, see Him face to face. Amen. All right, tonight, your Bibles, turn with me, if you would, to the book of Malachi, chapter number 3. We have been taking a series of messages in the book of Malachi. And I told you back while I'd forgotten that we had a missionary coming last Sunday. This is supposed to have been last Sunday night. And I told you when things just come up, they come up. When you're in a series, teaching or preaching through a book, it's just there and can't skip over it. Don't want to skip over it. I believe it's one of the most interesting subjects in the Word of God. Now, some people say, oh, it's not interesting to me. But this is the passage of Scripture that when we think of Malachi, this is one, I mean, it just like a red light goes off. We think of Malachi chapter 3 and speaks of the tithes and offerings. And this is where we are tonight. This is the sixth message in the series. Probably two or three more messages in these next few verses of chapter 3 and also into chapter 4. And then we will have the completed series in the book of Malachi, God's message to a generation or to a nation that was corrupt before Him. Many questions asked. And tonight I want us to begin reading in Malachi chapter 3, verse number 7. We finished up last time verse number 6. Now we're going to verse number 7 down through verse number 15. It says, even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now wherewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all the nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, that tempt God are even delivered. That's reading down through verse number 15. Verses 7 through 15. Now I want us to take tonight these verses of Scripture, especially down through verse number 12, and we'll find the message that God gives to His people. Now, it's an interesting thing, and I haven't done it yet, but I want to do this. I want to go through the book of Malachi again, and just for my own personal study, I want to find out how many times the Word of God saith the Lord of hosts. Because you find here that over and over and over again, God is so very careful in His writing of the Word of God. He wants the people of Israel to know exactly who's doing the speaking. It's not just necessarily Malachi. Malachi was just an instrument that God used. Malachi was just a man in that particular time that God had used to pen down these words. I believe in verbal inspiration of the Word of God. I believe God uses men, and He uses the personality of men, but yet the Word that God gave them was inspired of the Holy Ghost of the Lord, and it has been preserved unto us. And so we have the Word of God that has been given and spoken, and the Lord so very diligently and so very meticulously has taken and made sure that the people of Israel knew that God was the one doing the speaking. It wasn't necessarily Malachi's idea wasn't Malachi's thoughts. It wasn't Malachi's words. But it was, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts." And we need to understand that when we come to particular subjects in the Word of God, that this book, if we believe what we say we believe, then we must say this is God's Word for us, and it's Him doing the speaking, whether He used the Apostle Paul, or whether He used Malachi, or Jeremiah, or whether He used Luke, or whoever it might be. God used men at particular times for the writing and the inspiration of the Word of God. But it's God-breathed. It's the book that God's given to us. And therefore, it is true, and we must follow it. And so we find this very familiar passage of Scripture here that has been mocked and ridiculed. It has been taken out of context. It has been misused. But I want us to think tonight concerning these verses that we have read, and just simply find out what God has to say. It doesn't matter what this preacher might think, but it does matter what God says. It doesn't matter what someone might write in a religious periodical, but it does matter what God's written in His Word. It doesn't matter what some other preacher that may be well known or worldwide and world renowned might say, but it does matter what the Word of God does speak to us. And so I want us to think tonight upon the subject, and it's a subject that you cannot get away from, the subject of thieves in God's house. Now, you say, that's very point, that's very blunt. Well, I believe God's very blunt in the Word that He give us here and has given to us and has reserved and preserved to us in our English Bibles. Notice these verses once again. It says in the middle of verse number 7, God says, "Return unto me, and I will return to you." Well, the New Testament says that if we draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to us. And so we find the Old Testament and the New Testament, they're always coinciding together. They're never in opposition to each other. Amen. And the Scripture says, God says, "Return to me, and I will return to you." And the people of Israel ask, "Wherein shall we return?" And then verse number 8, you find the question, "Will a man rob God?" And immediately, God answers that question, "Yet ye have robbed me." And then there's another question that comes about from the people, and they say, "Wherein have we robbed thee?" "Well, God, where have we robbed you? How have we robbed you?" And the Lord gives them the answer very pointed, right to the point, and it says, "In tithes and offerings." He doesn't give any explanation. He doesn't give some long dissertation. God just says, "You've robbed me in tithes, and you've robbed me in offerings." And I want us to think tonight upon this subject. Verse number 8 gives that question, "Will a man rob God?" The word "rob" there is a word that means thievery, or it means fraud. It carries the meaning or the connotation of a premeditated work or action that is taken. And I believe we find here that the people of Israel had premeditated, or they had thought beforehand of how they were going to take care and how they were going to do their own business, and yet never had given God one particular thought. And folks, this is where we live tonight. This is where we are. This is where Christians are today. And when a person, and I know the ridicule, and I know the difficulties that come about. We've had our televangelists, we've had all these other groups that, I mean, they've robbed people. They have been the robbers. But we find here tonight that the Word of God tells us some things about the tithe and about the offering. Don't get me wrong, it doesn't mean any more pay to me. I don't get another thing if you give or if you don't give. But you get a whole lot more. You get something out of it. It's for your benefit. It's not for mine. My benefit is that I have to deliver what God has given in the Word of the Lord. But it's your benefit to follow the principles and the message that God gives in His Word. The people had gone a long way away from God. You'll find there that they'd gone away from the ordinances. Not just particularly one thing, but the ordinances of the Lord. And when we get away from God and we get away from the message of God and the ordinances of God, we're in trouble with Him. And all of a sudden, the blessings that have been flowing, they're just like a spring that dries up. All that fresh water that had run down the spring and you could get water from there, all of a sudden it becomes murk and miry. And all of a sudden it becomes stagnant because there's nothing fresh flowing out of that. And the same thing is when we rob God, or when we will not obey the ordinances of the Lord, when we will not keep those things that God has told us to keep, then all of a sudden we become stagnant and we begin to think, "Well, what's wrong with me?" And we better look into our life and into our heart and say, and to realize, "Well, I have faltered here," or "I have failed here. I haven't been faithful to here. That's what the Bible's for, is to teach us and to train us and to keep us in the way that God has for us. And we find here that they had had the blessings shut off to them because of disobedience. The very means of prosperity they had forsaken. The very way that they could prosper, they had forsaken that way, and they had forsaken the God of Israel. Now, if we had time tonight, we could go back to the book of Malachi, chapter number 13. In verse number 11, the Bible asks the question, why is the house of God forsaken? Now, I believe that's a very pertinent question, even in our age and day in which we live. If you used to study the 13th chapter of Nehemiah, you'll find there's a lot of reasons why that the house of God was forsaken in Nehemiah's day. And the same things are going on today in our America, in our churches, and God is the blessings are not flowing as they should. In Nehemiah 13, verses 1 and 2, you'll find that the Word of God had been neglected. And when you neglect the Word of God, you can be sure that somewhere you'll forsake the house of God. When you neglect the message and you neglect the Word of God, the message that God gives you, then it's not very hard to take it one step farther and forsake the house of God. In verses number 3 and 4 and 5, you'll find that in Nehemiah's day that there's no separation. There wasn't any difference between the people of Israel and the people of the land. In verses 7 through 9, you'll find the lack of cleanliness. They were filthy, they were vulgar, they were ungodly. And the house of God had been forsaken because of that. When a person gets out of the will of God and their life is no longer a clean life and that vessel is no longer a vessel that can be used of the Lord, when that murk and mire of the world begins to creep in on us, and by the way, it doesn't matter what anybody says, the world does have its pull and its persuasion upon the people of God. That's why we must stay on our knees before God. That's why we've got to stay right with God. And when that comes in, we're not clean any longer, and it makes it that much easier for us to forsake the house of the Lord. And so Nehemiah asked the question, why is the house of God forsaken? But in verse number 10, you'll find that the portions that were to be given to the Levites had been taken and used wrongfully. And the portion that portion was the tithes and offerings there in Nehemiah chapter 13. Because in verse number 12, we'll find that when the people begin to get right and Nehemiah is preaching to them and telling them the need that they have, the Bible says that immediately they bring in the tithe of the corn and the tithe of all that they have. And so this thing of tithing is important. It's very, very important. It's unthinkable that we would rob our generous and our Heavenly Father, that benevolent Father that has given us of Himself, gave the Lord Jesus Christ. It's almost unthinkable that we would rob Him. Or that we would say, I'm going to steal this from the Lord. But that happens every Lord's Day. Boy, it gets quiet, I know, but truth. It happens every Lord's Day. In the Lord's churches are people that literally rob God. And here God gives us the teaching on this. And they say, wherein have we robbed thee? And the Lord says, in tithes and in offerings. To keep the tithe is to invoke God's curse upon you. You say, oh, this is all, I've heard this before. That's the problem. We've heard it, but we don't do anything about it many times. But to keep that which belongs to God, you see, it's not ours to begin with. It's the Lord's. It's not ours to do anything with. It's the Lord's. The Bible very clearly teaches and tells us as people of God. Now, first of all, let me clarify one thing. That tithing is not for the lost person. It's not for the person that's lost. Tithing is for God's people. It's for the people of the Lord that have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And tithing is for the house of God. And that's why that if people will be right with the Lord and do what God tells them to do, that's why you won't have to go out and have your bake sales. I went by, I guess it was Walmart the other day, and they was having a car wash for the, I can't even think, the Triumph Temple. Boy, I thought, boy, they're not having many victories. They had a bake sale out there, same group. And they just doing all they could to raise a little bit of money for the church. Folks, the Bible tells us that we are not to go to the world to get those things that we need for the house of God. The Bible teaches that we are separated people, and we don't need the world's money. We don't have any need of that. We ought not have any desire of that. But God's people are to be those that would do what God tells us to do. It invokes a curse. You'll find, we'll read in a few moments, that God says you're cursed with a curse. That curse is upon an individual. That curse comes upon a family. That curse comes upon a church. That curse comes upon a nation when a person and when a people will rob God. And we find that this passage teaches the vital truth in the connection between tithing and heaven. And I want us to look tonight about three things on tithing. Now, I would take my watch off, but my wife said it doesn't do any good, so I'll leave it on. And I'll look down and get scared to death like I was. I was going good this morning. First point is 10 minutes after 12. I thought, boy, boy, what have I done? But that's all right. I don't believe anybody walked out on me. But now, my tonight, I don't think so, but hope not. But we're talking about a subject that is so vitally important to the people of the Lord if they just realize it's not what we are giving, but it's what God will give back to us. It's not what we will do or can do, but it's what God can do through us. That's the principle of Faith Promise Missions. It's not what we give, it's not what we send out to our missionaries, but it's what God will send through us to them. And we need to be a channel of blessing. But I want us to look at these verses, verse by verse, and notice some things about what tithing does in connection with heaven. First of all, in verses 8 through the first part of verse number 10, we find that tithing obeys heaven. When we tithe, we obey what God from heaven has told us to do. Now, we find here that to obey this thing of tithing is to obey the specific command of God. God has said we are to do that. And therefore, if we are to do that, then we as the people of God must follow the things of the Lord. Now, I know immediately someone says, well, tithing is an Old Testament ordinance. Well, it was an Old Testament ordinance, true. But it came into existence far before the law was ever given. If you'll find and go to the book of Genesis, you'll find that Abraham paid tithes unto Melchizedek. Melchizedek was the prince of Salem, or the king of Salem. And if he was not a pre-incarnate appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, then certainly Melchizedek was a perfect picture and type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Melchizedek blessed Abraham, and the Bible says that Abraham paid unto him tithes of all that he had. And there the principle of tithing began. Really, the principle of tithing is in the Garden of Eden. God said, I've given you all this, but I've reserved one for me. You see, God has given us all that we have, but He's reserved something for Him. He's reserved that in our life. He's reserved that in the Garden of Eden. He's reserved it all the way down through the people of Israel and then to the spiritual people that are saved, born again. He's reserved that portion for thing of Himself that we are to follow. You'll find that Abraham paid tithes before the law was ever given. In the book of Genesis, chapter number 28, I want us to turn there. In Genesis chapter number 28, and verse number 10, you'll find that Jacob paid tithes after his vision of heaven. After his vision of the angels walking up and down the ladder, Jacob's ladder that we read about, we find that Jacob vowed a vow and he promised God that he would do something to the Lord, for the Lord. In Genesis chapter number 28 and verse number 10, the Bible says, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went into Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac, and the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places where thou goest, and I will bring thee again to this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken unto thee, spoken to thee of. And Jacob awake out of his sleep, and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid, and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he'd put for his pillars and set it upon for a pillar and poured oil there on the top of it. And he called the name of the place Bethel, but the name of the city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob, notice here in verse number 20, and Jacob vowed a vow saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give thee a tenth unto thee. So we find that Jacob vowed a vow. And I read that entire passage to show you there what was going on in Jacob's life. Now, he wasn't commanded of God by law to do that. The law had not been given as yet. But yet when he met the Lord, when he met God, he said, surely the Lord is in this place. And he poured oil upon that rock that had been his pillar, and he called it Bethel, or means the house of God. And he said, surely the Lord is here. This is the gate of heaven. And there's been a lot of folks that have taken that verse and construed it to mean that you can go to heaven only through the church. And that's not what that's talking about. But I'm here to tell you tonight that what a church teaches will depend and will be determined whether or not you go to heaven. If a church teaches that which is wrong, it's a good chance that you'll not go to heaven. If a church doesn't teach salvation by grace and teaches by works, there's a better chance that you'll die and go to hell because the truth of the gospel does not come forth. But I'm glad salvation is by grace, and therefore we see that the gate of heaven is opened unto us. And he said, I'll give to God a tenth of all that I have. And so he tithed unto the Lord after he'd seen the vision of heaven. Then we find in the law that tithing was instituted into the law. And then in the New Testament we find that the law that tithing is endorsed in the New Testament. It's given to us, and we find that it goes from before the law, it's instituted in the law, and now we have it under grace. Thank God he has given us a means whereby we can worship him in giving of tithes and offerings. People say, well, I'm going to give the Lord this. You don't give God anything until you take care of what you owe him. You see, we owe God that. That's just set. That's the pattern that God gives. We don't give it, we pay tithes. Now, I know people say, well, let's give our tithes. No, we don't give. A gift is something that is ours that we can give away. I have this Bible. It has my name in it. It's mine. And I can do with it as I please. I can give it to Jay, or I can give it to Brother Earl, or Brother Emerson. I can say, just take my Bible. You can have that. That would be a gift. It's mine. But now, I couldn't go down here and say, Brother George, let me have your Bible, and I'll give it to Brother Emerson. I don't have the right to do that. Why don't? No, I don't have that right because it's not mine. And neither do I have the right to do with the tithes and offerings that belong to God because they're not mine to do with them as I please. Somebody says, well, can I support certain things with my tithes? Well, some people do, but I don't believe you can spiritually and rightfully. I believe it goes through the house of God. I believe it's to the storehouse of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so tithing was before the law. It was instituted in the law, and it's endorsed in the New Testament. And we'll see that. This is a timeless principle for the believers of Christ. We want the blessings of God, then we better follow the ordinances of God. We want the blessings of God upon our life, then we better do what God says. And we find that connected with this is the curse. So tithing is to obey heaven's command. I don't know about you, but I want to be obedient unto the Lord. I want to be obedient to the Word of God. I don't want the curse of God upon me. I want God's blessings. I don't want the windows of heaven to be closed. I want them to be open. I don't want the blessings of the world and the curse of God. No, I want the blessings of God upon us. And we find here the very principle that is given in the Word of God that we can have that. So tithing obeys heaven. Do you want to be obedient tonight? Now, I know that for the most part, I believe we have many, many people in our church that are tithers. I know that. I know that by the offerings that we have and the way God uses and the way God blesses. And I'm not here not trying to teach you something that you don't already know. I'm just trying to keep us encouraged to keep doing what we are doing. And then there may be some that have never really come to the realization of what it all is about. And it's the purpose of the Word of God, and it's the purpose of the preacher to teach you some things. And then when you find out that truth, and then just go on and be faithful to God. Be obedient unto the Lord. A lot of folks do things because they're ignorant of the Word of God. I realize that. Amen. There's a lot of folks that will give their tithes to Oral Roberts and that crowd because they're ignorant of the Word of God. Amen. You see, the Bible teaches that the house of God is the storehouse of the Lord, and we are to do those things through that church, that place that God has put us. Now, when it comes down to the teaching on the local church and what we all do, I get very narrow on that. I believe everything we do ought to be through this house of God. Amen. I believe everything ought to be through the local, indigenous, Bible-believing, scriptural Baptist church. Amen. I don't believe you have a right to do anything else than to follow through with where God's placed you. You see, this is the place where God feeds you. This is the place where God uses you. This is the place where God's led you. And therefore, we're to put our influence and our material gain and our blessings that God has given us to go into all the world and to do what God tells us to do. Amen. So we find here that the Lord says, will a man rob God? And the people say, where have we robbed you? Why? How have we done that? And God says, in tithes and offerings. Tithing not only is to obey heaven's command, but it's also, we find, in verse number 10, it says, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse. Tithing opens heaven. Not only are we to obey heaven, but tithing will open heaven. I like this. I like it when the windows of heaven are opened. I like it when the blessings of God are flowing. Now, there's a lot of people that they'll hear a message such as this and say, well, I believe I'll tithe so God can bless me and I'll have much more to do what I want to do with. You can just keep your money. You can just keep it. I believe it has to be a right attitude. I believe you have to know what the Scripture says and the right attitude of giving to God that which He owns and that which He says we are to give. This verse teaches some things, and I want us to look over that very quickly. It teaches a proportion. Now, the word tithe itself just simply means a tenth. That's not hard to understand. That's not hard to figure. I would to God that America was on that principle. That makes everybody equal. I'd be willing to pay my taxes on a percentage if everybody else would pay the same percentage. You see, that makes it equal for everyone. God doesn't have big dogs and little dogs. God doesn't have Indians and chiefs and all this stuff. He doesn't have that. But God makes it equal where we all can be a part of giving to Him. If somebody gives you, or if you work and you earn $100, why, 10% of that's God's. You better keep your hand off of it. The proportion is there. God says it's a tenth or a tithe of what He has given you. If you make, and I find it very amazing that some people can tithe when they make $100 a week. Boy, when they get about $500, it's hard for them to tithe then. Somebody said, you need to pray for me. And I thought, boy, I'd like to pray for you. And I'd like to tell you how I'd pray. Somebody get a $1,000 check. And I said, hoo-wee, $100 to the church. Now, that's God's. You don't have to worry about what I ought to do with it. It's God's. If you're saved, if you're born again, you ought to say, thank God I've got $100 to give to the house of the Lord. Amen. Ought to rejoice in that because He has proportioned it out that everybody is equal. You see, if you make $10 and you give a dollar, you're not giving any less or any more than somebody that makes $1,000. You say, well, they may give a lot more than I don't know. Percentage-wise, you give the same. You're equal because you give of what you have. You give that which God has given unto you. So the proportion is very clear. It's 10%. The place is very clear. It's the storehouse. Well, I got ahead of myself a while ago, but I believe the storehouse today is the New Testament church. Now the storehouse, when Malachi was living, that was the house of God. It's the temple. And before the temple is the tabernacle. It's the place where God met with His people. In the tabernacle, God's Shekinah glory came down in that place. That's where God met with His people. When they built the temple, the Shekinah glory of God once again came down. And on the day of Pentecost, I believe the Shekinah glory of God came down and proved to the world that the house of God was real and literal. And we have that teaching given to us. Jesus Christ established His church. And on that day of Pentecost, God gave it the power to go forth. And the glory of God came down. And we see that there were 3,000 people saved that day and added unto the church. You can't add to something that's not there. And God added to the church that day those 3,000 people. And God has given us the place that we are to bring our tithes. Now, I don't know about anybody else, but I know how I do it. When I get my check, first thing I do is I take out my tithes and my missions and my offering. I don't even consider that when I'm going to make a bill. I don't figure out I can go buy a car and pay off that with my tithe. I believe that car would blow up if I did that. I don't go out and get a fun game toy and say, well, I can pay with God's money. No, that's not my money to do that with. I can't decide that. My responsibility as a believer is to bring it to the storehouse that God has put me in, and my responsibility goes and that I do what God tells me to do and then make sure. I believe my responsibility carries a little farther than that. Make sure that that house of God does with it right and uses it in the glory and for the grace of God. Somebody says, well, when I gave it a good heart, and what they did was their business. Well, that may be true until you know what they're doing with it. Then when you know what's going on, you ought to do something about it. It's one thing to be ignorant of certain things. It's another thing to ignore it. And when things are wrong and things are not right, you ought to get out of that thing and pray God would get you in a place where you can use the house of God and have the goods of the Lord to be used for His honor and His glory. I've heard people say, well, I can't leave this particular church because, and I've said this before, but it's amazing. I can't leave this church because grandma and grandpa's buried out there. Well, dig them up and take them with you, because they probably wouldn't go with him. They wouldn't stay there anyway. Who do we worship, grandma and grandpa, or do we worship God? There's a lot of churches around this country. They're so dead and they're so liberal and literal, and there are some good people that's in some of those churches, and they're just there because grandma and grandpa. Of God, it's in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in the place where God has placed you to work and to serve and to be a vessel that He can work through you and in your life. The purpose of it, you'll find verse number 10. Let's notice here. Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. That's the purpose of it. That things could go forth. That word meat just means goods. That there may be prosperity in my house or in the house of God. Tell you one thing, if the people of God, Grace Baptist Church, were not faithful to the Lord, we could not do what we do. Amen. We go from week to week, from month to month, and the bills just keep going. I've heard people say, well, I'll just withhold my tithe. Go ahead and have the curse of God on you. Well, I don't like how so-and-so does, and so I'm just going to hold my tithe and do with it something else. No, you want the curse of God on you, you can do that. But God says, give it. And if you can't give it in a good peace of mind and a good heart, then leave and give it where you can. I still believe that's true. Doesn't matter how quiet it gets, doesn't matter how many strange looks I get, but if a person cannot give to the house that God has put them in and be right with the Lord, then go and go for somewhere where you can give to the Lord. Go and do that. We're not perfect. We're not right in every detail and everything of life. But God says, give unto the Lord through the storehouse, through the house of the Lord, through the place that God has given you to serve Him, that there may be meat in my house. Sometimes I look at the bills and say, oh, you see, there's a lot of things that go on people don't realize. There's a lot of bills that come up and people don't realize sometimes. We just don't think. You're comfortable tonight, aren't you? Well, maybe. Some of you may not be too comfortable. I don't know. But at least it's not 95 degrees in here. It is right up here, but not down there. And you're comfortable. That bill goes on. Boy, that meter out there, it just about swings around that pole. It don't just spin. It just spins around the pole. It goes fast. Especially when wintertime comes and those $2,100 light bills come up every month. You see, the only way you can go forth is do what God says. The only way our missionaries are continuing in the work of God is that we be faithful to the Lord. You see, we are so much more touching the lives of more and more and more. And the more we do, the more we'll touch. If all of a sudden we back up, then we're touching all those lives and we're rejecting that. Amen. See, we support, I believe it's 42, 43 missionaries. If the people of God here were not faithful in doing what God's laid upon our hearts to do, then those 43 works would suffer. It's all my little $4 or $5, it doesn't matter. Well, if everybody thought that, it would really matter, wouldn't it? See, tithes and offerings belong to God. That there may be meat in my house. That God's blessings might come from heaven down to us. That we might have the blessings of God upon us. The purpose. There's proportion. There's the place. And the purpose. It's not to build an empire. We've had everything in the world gone. It's an amazing thing to me. It's a miracle of God that people are not burnt out on preachers. Preachers have sold everything from books to bricks. I mean, they've given away. I like the way they say it. Now, we'll send you this book free if you'll give us an offering. Boy, it don't sound too free, does it? I like some of their deals, and sometimes I send them an offering to get their deal. But, I mean, we've sold bricks, we've sold books, we've sold everything. We've had our hamburger days, our hot dog happenings, all of those things. But God says, just bring the tithe into the storehouse. I still believe what God orders, He pays for. Years ago, people borrowed money on the assumption that a new building would bring in the crowd. Boy, did they ever get shocked. I think years ago this church was in the bonds, sold bonds. I remember when one come due that they didn't know was still out. I forgot how much was that, Jay? $600. Well, it'd been 10 years. One showed up, and you got to pay it. And you ought to. But you know the bond companies, and they've just about all gone their route. They sold a bill of goods to a lot of churches and said, now if you build, your payment will start down here real small, and then over a period of years, it'll balloon, it's called. Because 10 years down the road, why, you'll be running probably 10,000 people, and you'll be able to pay that. Only thing wrong, 10,000 people didn't come. 5 years down the road, the $100 a month payment developed into a $400 a month payment. And the people were still there, and some of them got burnt, and they left, and had less than you started with. And that's why this countryside's full. That's why this country, America, is full of churches that are, doors are shut. And they've turned churches into bar rooms and everything else because we were fed a bill of goods. But I believe what God orders, I believe He pays for. He'll take care of it. And so we find that if we're faithful to God, He'll be faithful to us. He says, if you'll return to me, I will return to you, saith the Lord of hosts. So the purpose is that the house of God there may be meat in that house. When God's people are right with Him, they're faithful and tithing. This is just a common, it's just as natural. It's a natural thing to get up in the morning, and it's a natural thing to eat breakfast. It's natural. A few hours later, you get hungry and you eat dinner. It's natural. A few hours later, you eat supper. It's natural. A few hours later, you eat a snack. It's natural. If you sit up a little longer, you got to have a Coke. It's natural. Boy, some of you are smiling. You know what I'm talking about. If you're right with God, it's natural to say, yes, Lord, it's yours. It's just part of you. It's just that which God teaches and shows us and tells us. And so tithing opens the windows of heaven. It proves God will prove Himself faithful. He will pour out a blessing. He will lift the curse that's been upon us. Why? Because tithing opens heaven for us when we will obey heaven. And then thirdly and lastly, tithing obligates heaven. Heaven's under obligation when we do what God says. When God says, I will, if you will, then you just be sure God's under obligation and God will do what He says He'll do. Look in verse number 11, verse number 12. The Bible says here, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Tithing obligates heaven. When we are obedient to God, He promises to do two things to us that we've read right here. Verse number 11 tells one thing. Verse number 12 tells something else. First of all, in verse number 11, God, in response, He is obligated that He will protect our work. When we give to God, He'll protect us. Notice there what He says, and I will rebuke the devourer. Now, during the day of Malachi, the devourer was one that would come into the field and literally would destroy and tear down all the goods of the field, whether it be corn, whatever it was they had in that field. The devourer would come and destroy it and do away with it. Well, God says here that I will rebuke the devourer. And I find in the New Testament that the devil is our devourer. He's out to get us. He's out to destroy us. He's out to defeat us. He's out to take care of us. And God says, I'll rebuke him. If you want the rebuke of God on your devourer, then you stay right with the Lord. If you want God's protection, then you stay right with God. If you want to be a true people of God, stay right with Him. If you want the peace of God, if you want the power of God, stay right with Him. God says, I will rebuke the devourer. And I believe He rebukes the devil many, many times for our sake. I believe He'll make him fly when we're right with God. God takes care of us, folks. I don't have to worry about the world taking care of me. I've got a Heavenly Father that takes care of me. I've got a God in heaven that knows my needs. I don't have to go out and beg, borrow, steal to get what I need. I can go to the heaven. I can go to God of heaven. And He has promised that if I'm right with Him, that, and David said, I was young, now I'm old, and I've never seen the godly begging bread. And I believe God will take care of us just like He took care of David. I believe God will take care of us just like He took care of those that David looked upon. He said, I was young and now I'm old. And He said, I've never seen God forsake His people. And I've never seen Him forsake His people when they're right with Him. But when we're not right with Him, then the blessings are withheld. And God said, you are cursed with a curse. I don't want the curse of God on me. I want the blessings of God. And the Bible here tells us our obedience to God will bring His rebuke to Satan. Not only does our tithing obligate heaven to protect our work, but we find that it'll project our witness in verse number 12. And all nations shall call you blessed. Now that's, I know, is talking to Israel. Now America is not Israel. And the promises that God gave to Israel in the Old Testament are not America's promises tonight as a nation. But there are some promises that were given to Israel that we can have as an individual. And we can carry them over to our life. And God says there, He says, "And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts." The words here, blessed and delightsome, are words to describe God's people when they are obedient to God. While the greatest people I've ever met have been people that love God and were obedient to the Lord. I can think down through the years of people that I have met, some of the closest friends I've got are folks that really love God. They might not have had all the goods of the world, they may have not had the riches of the world, but they were obedient to God. They may have not been able to do some of the things that other folks could do, but they were obedient to the Lord. And they were some of the most delightful people I was ever around. There, on the other hand, there are some folks that I've met that have been rebellious against God. They wouldn't serve God. They wouldn't do for God. And they've been some of the undelightful people I've ever met. You get a person, you get a Christian that's out of the will of God, his whole attitude is wrong. And it'll be wrong to you, it'll be wrong to someone else. Why? Because he's wrong with God. And I believe if we're right with the Lord, he'll make us right with mankind. I believe that with all my heart. I cannot, I refuse, I will not, I just cannot harbor ill will in my heart toward God's people. There's not a person, I've said it before, I'll say it again, there's not a person in Madisonville, Kentucky that I cannot speak to and shake their hand. Amen. I'll do that. Now some of them, I go to them and make them shake my hand, they don't want to. But there's not a person that I wouldn't do that to. Sometimes feelings and sometimes words get out of hand, but folks, we better not harbor that ill will in our heart. Amen. If that root of bitterness will spring up and it'll be like a canker that eats after you, just like a cancer, it'll destroy you. Amen. The Scripture tells us that we better beware of that. And when we are in the will of God and when we are obedient to God, we'll be a blessed people. We'll be a delightsome people. We'll be a wholesome people. We'll be a people that just loves living. I enjoy life. I don't know about anybody else. I enjoy going to bed and getting up the next morning thinking, wonder what God's going to do today. I enjoy staying busy. I enjoy doing things for the Lord. I'm not always. I've known a few times that I wasn't too blessed. I've known some times in my life that I wasn't too delightsome. Why? Because my Heavenly Father was not pleased with me. And I was not pleased with Him. Just be honest. Well, I might as well get honest. There's been times I haven't been pleased with God. And I said, God, I'm not going to do that. And boy, all of a sudden, the blessings are off. It's just like that water spigot out beside your house that you turn on and off. And you say, ooh, wonder what's wrong. Don't ever ask that, because God usually will tell you what's wrong. And sometimes it comes upon us before we even realize it. Sometimes that old rotten attitude will be there and we'll say, ooh, wonder what's wrong with me. Wonder why my joy is not where it ought to be. And I believe God will answer us just like He did these people. They say, wherein have we robbed God? God says, in tithes and offerings. And when we say, Lord, I wonder what's wrong with me. Boy, immediately God will reveal to you what's wrong. And then you better get it right. You better serve Him. He'll project our witness. God's blessings make us attractive to the lost. I believe when we're right with God, the world looks at us and says, boy, they got something. I don't know what it is, but I wish I had that. I don't understand how they can have so much trouble and still do what they do. Well, those folks, they've lost everything they've got. Maybe in a fire, storm, flood, whatever it might be. Yet they go to church. And the world looks at that and they say, boy, they've got something I couldn't do that. No, the only way we do that is because of the blessings of God and the way that we are obedient unto Him. The world begins to hunger and thirst after righteousness. The problem is, we are the salt of the earth. The Bible says when the salt has lost its savor, it is of no good, it's to be thrown out. And what we are doing, little by little, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, is that the salt is losing its savor. Salt has many effects. It preserves and it irritates. Well, you cut your arm or cut your hand, you get salt in it, it'll let you know where that cut is. It irritates. And sometimes we irritate the world because we're just like the salt in a wound. And I tell you one thing, we're the preserving element of this world also.
Amen.
Because one day when the Lord takes us out of here and the influence of the Holy Spirit is departed, no more salt, no more preserving, no more holding back the wrath of God. The wrath of God will fall. By the giving, we as individuals are able to do as a church what we could not do by ourselves. I don't know of anybody that would be able to individually do what we do as a church. I don't know of anybody like that. I don't know of anybody that could support 43 missionaries. Some of them $40 a month, some of them 50, some of them 80. Brother Solomon, I believe, is 80. Brother Rodney Proctor, we support different ones, different amounts. Any individuals that could do that. How much do we send out a month on missions? About $1,800 a month on missions. It needs to be much more than that. If we're just praying God give us some more missions. We've got some missionaries coming by in these next 2 or 3 months. I believe God will bless. But folks, we collectively can do what not one individual can do. God can bless our efforts. I was thinking, as Brother Emerson was speaking a while ago, there was a need of Fellowship Track League. And Courageous could supply that need. How good it is that brethren can dwell together in unity and get the gospel out. Would to God we'd see more of that. Would to God that could happen in our community. That people could, instead of trying to kill each other, just see what we could do. Just see if we could do as much good for the community as we do try to harm and hurt each other.
Amen.
But there you have one need, and you have here over here, hundreds of miles away, a little old instrument that will take care of that need and say, yeah, we'll be glad to do that. That's the work of God. That's the work of the Lord. He says, I will enlarge you, and I'll make you a delightsome land. And he says, your fruit, the vine, will not cast her fruit before its time. What does that mean? God says, it'll all just on time. Want the blessings of God? I do. Israel said, wherein have we robbed God? God said, in tithes and offering. Tithing obeys heaven, yes. Tithing opens heaven. And tithing obligates heaven. May we know the blessings of being obedient to the Lord's command. Malachi chapter 3, verses 7, 8, 9, and 10. Familiar verses of Scripture, but I'm afraid so many people just let it come in one ear, go out the other. And God says, ye are cursed with a curse. That's true. It doesn't matter if we're a preacher. It doesn't matter if you're a deacon. Doesn't matter if you're a Sunday school teacher. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter if you're an older person, a middle-aged person, a teenager. If we don't follow what God says here, we're cursed with a curse. Have you ever wondered why some people it just seems as though everything they do works out all right. And then some people, everything they do just is terrible. Well, sometimes it's because we're cursed with a curse and things just don't work. I believe this with all my heart. The tithe belongs to the Lord. The Lord owns the tithe. It's His. He commands us to be willing stewards, obedient, to give it back to Him. But if we don't give it, it's still His. And we are robbers of God. But I am convinced in my heart that if I don't give it to God, it may not go for His work, it may not go for His purpose, but I'll not enjoy the benefits of it. There's a lot of ways God can take care of His money. You can have doctors. I've been here 11 years. Somebody said, what doctor you go to in Trover Clinic? I said, I've barely stepped my foot in Trover Clinic. Never been to a doctor at Trover Clinic. Who's your family physician? I don't have one. Now, that's a blessing of the Lord. I don't want one. Somebody says, well, how does this work and how does that work? I don't know, but thank God it works. I don't understand it all. And I'm convinced And I may not pay my tithes, I may not give them to the Lord, but there's going to be one sure way that I'll not enjoy what I rob from God. Well, how many of us would go in to somebody's house and just slip in? There's $1,000 there, laying on the table. I don't know anybody's got that, but there's $1,000 laying there. How many of us would go in and just steal it? Stick it in your pocket and take off. Well, no, we wouldn't do that. Don't think we would. But how many times have I been guilty of that $100 that God gave me, and I just took that 10, stuck it in my pocket, and walked on and didn't think a thing about it? No difference than robbing man. It's worse. Because you're robbing God that's given it all to you. Will a man rob God? Yes. But oh, when we know the truth of it, we don't need the curse of God. We need the windows of heaven opened and the blessings to fall. See, a message like this is not to rebuke. I believe it's to help. It's to show us what God can do through us if we'll let Him. Let's stand tonight. I don't know about you, but I sort of like obedience. I like it in children. I like it in adults. I like it in my own life. Obedience. I don't know about you, but I like the windows of heaven to be open in my life. But I sure do like to think about heaven's obligated to me. And what God has promised, He will do. It's an amazing thing of what some people do with God's money. All they want to particular thing, they'll just go out and buy it and never think about it. All of a sudden, they get behind and they get tight and say, well, I can't give the Lord today His. You made your first mistake. You say, well, I'm in such a bind, I'm in such a thing, I can't do that. You're making a mistake. If that be the case, then y'all get rid of some of that junk and be honest with God and be faithful to the Lord. Some say, well, I'm just not going to do it. Go right ahead, and the curse of God is upon you. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what position you're in. I know some preachers that don't even tithe. God have mercy on them. I know some pastors that will not even tithe. They ought to give Him what He gives God. We need to have obedient hearts and follow after the Lord. Dear Lord Jesus, tonight I pray, God, that You would help us to see this glorious truth. And I realize that many folks that are here tonight understand this and know this. And I pray, God, this is just to help them to carry on and keep on keeping on. Not letting the cares and the affairs of this life creep in and rob us of our blessings. And Lord, there may be others here tonight that's never heard anything such as this. I pray, God, that the word of the Lord has been so open and tried to be explained that it's so clear that these things are given that we might have the blessings in our lives. Father, I pray that You'd take the message, do with it as You please and as You will. Help us in the work of God to go forth and to progress in the work of Jesus Christ, that others come to know Him. We pray, God, You'd forgive us where we fail. Maybe there's some here tonight that have just not been faithful, just not been obedient to the Lord, just have let things, cares, even sometimes toys that we want, and the world shows us so much, that we do not count the cost, and then all of a sudden we're in a terrible condition and we can't be faithful to God. Oh, God, help us tonight to see that and to get back where You can bless. Where we can draw nigh. The Bible says if we'll return to God, He'll return to us. Father, we pray now You'd bless the message. Thank You for the Word of God. We ask in Jesus' name now. Amen.